Hello, I'm Scott Millis, Senior Pastor here at Living Word Family Church, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we hope that today's message encourages you and equips you in your walk with Christ. Here's today's message.
Hallelujah! Munenere! Sabote Yesu! Need to get your people prepared. All right, well, hallelujah. So good to be here. We are always so blessed to come to Living Word Church and hang with Pastor Scott and Beth, and we just had a great time last night. Usually it's steaks. Well, now he did these incredible burgers that are stuffed with, what is that, cheese, jalapenos. I mean, how many have eaten at Pastor Scott's house? We are the blessed ones, Danette. We are the blessed ones. Amen. Well, we are blessed to be here today. We are honored, and we're always just so thankful how you have welcomed us in. Wow, what powerful worship today. Man, I love it when that song comes on. Oh, just the eruption of praise. Praise God, He is alive. Amen. And this house is alive. You are truly Living Word Church. Amen. Well, we are honored to be here. I don't know how many missionaries or guest speakers you have that come and show you pictures of their kids. Are we the only ones that do that? Everybody does that? All right. Well, we are honored because we feel like we're family. And you guys have been praying for us and you're supporting us. And really everything you see there going on with our kids in Niger is because you have given toward our ministry. We can't do what we do without supporters. And so we're grateful. One of the big reasons we come is to come and say thank you. Thank you for that. And the building you see there that was just started last year is now completed and paid for. And it's being completed even as we're here, but it is paid for. Amen. And your offering last year went towards that. So you're seeing what you have given towards. We're honored to be here. Are you ready for the word? Also, I brought some of my books, and I know Pastor Scott kind of mentioned it. Tonight, I might refer a little bit more some of the thoughts that are in it. In the book, but I want to encourage everyone. I believe it's better than my first book, so it's really more about missions. It's about the Apostle Paul's statement, I become all things to all men, that by all possible means I might save some. And so it's talking about having that by all possible means mindset. Amen? We have a responsibility given to us. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Exodus. And I'm a quick preacher, so I know Danette took a lot of time. I will be quick. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. My message this morning is pretty much going to be from this verse. It says in Exodus 23 and verse 20, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared." Hallelujah. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way. The title of my message this morning is Along the Way. You see, this was a word given by God to the Israelites. They were on their journey to the promised land. They've been released out of bondage of slavery and they were heading to the promised land. And God gave them this word of hope. He said, "See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared for you." It's a message for their journey. You know, the Israelites were on a journey, and we see that journey in the book of Exodus as they've come out of bondage and they're journeying through the wilderness. And I'll tell you, we see in that journey of the Israelites so many things happening. You know, one of the things you'll see is in a journey, anything can happen. Danette and I, as missionaries, we do a lot of traveling. And we'll tell you firsthand, when you're on a journey, when you're traveling, anything can happen. We have traveled now, we're catching up to my son, but we've been to 41 countries now. And I'll tell you, we've traveled by car, we've traveled by train, we've traveled flying by planes and small planes, big planes. And I'll tell you, on a journey, anything can happen. We've been stranded in other countries we didn't think we were going to be in, having to spend some nights because of flight problems, what have you. We've been on camels, we've been on cars that broke down. I remember early on, one of our trips in Niger, one of Danette's actual first time to drive a long journey in Niger, we're driving along in the car, and I'm sitting over in the passenger side, and Danette's driving, all of a sudden we hear, boom, And we look up and we see this black thing shooting into the sky. And then it comes down and it, boom, shoots up again. And we realize that's our tire. Anything can happen on a journey. One time we're driving along, and again, Danette was driving. It's funny how Danette's always the one driving in these stories. Danette's driving along, and we're actually traveling across the country, and she's pulling a trailer, and I'm in the vehicle behind pulling another trailer. And as she's driving, her trailer just comes off and detaches and goes off into the bush. And Danette doesn't even know it. She keeps on driving. I stop, and I'm basically waiting. Okay, this is pre-cell phone, so I can't even call and let her know. And eventually, some hours later, a little bit later, she realizes, hey, I'm not pulling the trail. Anything can happen on a journey. Amen? Well, the Israelites, when we read about their journey, they went from having snake bites to different sicknesses to food shortage to needing water to drink. Anything can happen. If you've ever been on a journey with your family, and we've been on a lot of journeys, as I said, as missionaries, with our kids here in America, I have been to 49 of the 50 states. Alaska is the one state I'm yet to reach. But we have traveled to these states and we go by car. And one thing, I don't know, y'all that have kids and you get ready to set off on that journey, it might be a 10-hour journey. You're within your first hour, 2 hours of that journey, you start hearing the kids. Are we there yet? How much farther are we there yet? Well, you know, anything can happen on a journey. And if we get so caught up in trying to get to the destination, sometimes we forget that there's some things along the journey we need to pick up. The Israelites' journey took them 40 years in the desert before they got to where they're going. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in where we're going, we forget that there's some things about the journey. Today I want to talk to you about along the way. This was a word given to the Israelites for along the way. Do you know that today we are on a journey? We're on a journey. It's a type of journey. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey of becoming more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I count not myself to have arrived, but this one thing I do, I press forward for the things that are ahead, to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He said, we can be confident that he who began the good work in us will bring it to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. We're on a journey. We're becoming more like Jesus. And if we get so caught up of having to get to where we're going, we'll miss the things that God has for us right now. When I was younger, we got into this debate. We're young preachers and stuff, and one saying, it's all about the destination. And another one, no, it's all about the journey. And I was on the side, hey, it's all about the destination. Without a destination, you don't even need a journey. It's all about the destination. But then the truth is, as I've gotten older, I've realized you don't get to the destination without the journey. My conclusion is they're both important. Praise God for the destination, that there is a promise that God has given us and we're heading to heaven. And by faith, legally, we've already laid hold of it. I'm in a faith church. Come on, that should get an amen. By faith, legally, we've laid a hold of it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we are still on a journey. We're on a journey of taking hold of all that God has promised for us. And just like the Israelites' journey, they had to get out of bondage before they could go into the promised land. There are some things we need to do. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is a journey. I love it. When Jesus called his first disciples, he says, come, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Discipleship is a process. A process isn't something that happens in a moment. It's something that takes place over time. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue, or not to his disciples, he said to those that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You see, we are on a journey. We're on a journey of becoming like Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, we all having behold the glory of the Lord, we are all being transformed into his image from glory to glory. We're on a journey becoming like Jesus. And in this journey, anything can happen. We're becoming like Jesus. And my message is this word that was given to the Israelites. But before I go into that Exodus 23, I just want to talk a little bit about that process. Everything God does with us is process. From the very time he created us, it was with process. He created the light. He said, let there be light. We know how God created with the command of his word. He created everything. He said, let the dry land be separated from the waters. It was with a command. Oh, I love that. We love that when it's, yeah, God spoke it. But you know that when he came to make man, it wasn't just with a command. He said, let us make man. Man, we were created in a process. And it says he formed us with his own hands. David said we were wonderfully and fearfully made. It says in Genesis, he took the dust of the ground and he formed us. And then he breathed life into us. We were created with a process. And today we're still in that process of becoming like Jesus as a born-again believer. We're in process. We're on a journey. We're along the way. And so this word that was given to the Israelites for their journey, because anything can happen on a journey, there's a word for us today. But first we got to realize we are in process. We are on this journey. And I know that by faith, I've laid a hold of all the promises of God by faith. They're mine and I have them. But still, there is a process that we go through. And sometimes we get so caught up in thinking about the destination, we forget about all the things we need to learn along the way. John chapter 8, very powerful and popular verse, scripture. Jesus is speaking to those that believed on him. And I want to bring this out. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. And I'm jumping around in my message, so they're not all lined up, the verses. Amen. John chapter 8, starting in verse 30, Jesus is speaking. He says, even as he spoke, many believed on him. Are we there? John chapter 8. Many believed on him. And then it says in verse 31, and to the Jews who believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold to my word, or you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. See, that's process. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He was speaking to believers. It said he spoke to the Jews who believed on him. So they were believers. And he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. Jesus shows us a very clear distinction between being a believer and being a disciple. We became a believer in an instant. When we believed in our heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead and we confessed with our mouth, he is Lord, immediately we were born again. That was immediate. But then becoming a disciple, being conformed into his image, that's the process that it requires continuing in his word. One translation says, if you hold to my teachings. Another says, if you remain in my word or you abide in me. You see, it's a process. It doesn't happen immediately. Today in America, we want everything to be immediate. Our mindset is, I need it now. Well, praise God, there's things that God does immediately, but most of the things he does in our life, I'll tell you, it's a process. And becoming a disciple of Jesus is a process, and it doesn't happen in a moment. And if we're so caught up in trying to get to the destination, we're just going to be so focused on that, we'll forget to pick up the things along the way that we need to. There's some shaping. There's some transformation that needs to take place. There's some information we need if we're going to really take hold of all that God has for us. We get saved, and by faith, yes, by faith, we've laid hold of that destiny of God. The promises are ours. But yet we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, taking hold of all that God has for us. There's that statement. It says, we've all heard that statement. It says you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Because we get so caught up in where we're headed, we're not going to do the things we got to do right now here on earth to touch the lives of people. Of course, the other side of that's also true. You can be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. The destiny's important, the destination's important, but the journey is too. Amen. And we've got to take hold of it. Do we have some disciples here today? It says, are we there yet? There's some things we need to learn along the way. So Jesus is talking to these believers in John chapter 8. He says, if you continue, if you hold. He's talking about process. You know, the Apostle Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's a process. Renewing of the mind is ongoing. It's continual. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's a process. It's something that's continual. We're being conformed into his image. It's not just about the journey. It's not just about right now. It's not just about take hold of it. We've got to be part of the process. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is a process. And in this process, in this journey, anything can happen. Sometimes you may find yourself in a wilderness. And I know there was a lot of controversy back in the Word of Faith camp about whether we have to go through the wilderness. You may not end up going through the wilderness. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. On the journey that Jesus leads you to, anything can happen. You may find yourself in a wilderness. You don't have to believe for it. But anything can happen. And you've just got to know that I'm with Jesus wherever he leads. And if he leads you to Niger, don't resist it. If he leads you to Niger, don't resist it. I wasn't pointing at anybody in specific. But on a journey, anything can happen. We've got to pick up those things along the way on the journey because a process, discipleship is a process. It says, it's defined. A process is defined as a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Process takes time. It's not immediate. He says, if you continue in my word, it's not immediate. And you will know the truth. And we love that, man. You continue in the word. And as you're continuing in the word, Jesus says, then you'll know the truth. And man, when you have the knowledge of that truth, then that truth begins to set you free. And he's speaking to these believers who he's challenging them to be disciples. And he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And you know what? They go and they respond to Jesus' statement in verse 33. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? Some people are so focused on the destination to forget what's going on around them in the moment. I mean, if there were ever in the history of mankind people that were known to be the slaves, it were the Israelites, the Hebrew children, the most famous slaves of all time. In fact, the most written book of all time chronicles their slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And these same people that had been the slaves of history now say, we've never been slaves. You know what? They not only had been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. After they were slaves in Egypt, even after they became the kingdom of Israel, they were conquered by Assyria. The northern kingdom was conquered. And then after Assyria, then Babylonia conquered both the north and the south. That's the story of Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego in the time of Daniel. They were exiled in Babylon because Babylon was ruling over them. And after Babylon, then the Persians came in. The story of Esther, they were under the rule of the Persians. And then after Persia, what was it? The Greeks came in and took over that area. And that's why the New Testament is written in the Greek language. It was the education language of the time. And even at the very moment that Jesus was speaking to them, they were not free. They were under Roman rule. We've never been slaves of anybody. People don't know what they don't know. Some people are just, they're so caught up, their head in the sky, thinking about where they're gonna be. They don't even know what's going on right now. And you know that part of this journey is that's where you pick up the things you need if you're gonna take hold of all that God has for you. Being a disciple is what we've been called to do. And everybody else is just saying, I'm saved, born again. I've got the promises of God. Yes, but you are a disciple. You have been called to be a disciple. And being a disciple is a process. It's a step by step. Before you can get into the promises of God, God's got to get you out of some things. He had to get the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt before he could get them into the promises. Praise God, when we get saved, we get out of the bondage. But he's got to lead us into the things of God, because when you continue in the word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. By faith, you get all your freedom in a moment, but by discipleship, it's a process. And sometimes that can mess people up because on the faith camp, we want to say we got it all. And by faith, we did. I'm not arguing, but there's still a journey. We've got to take this step by step. It's about being a disciple. A disciple is a follower. That's why it's an everyday decision. He said, if you're going to come after me, you'll follow me every day. Take up your cross every day. Becoming like Jesus. In a journey, anything can happen. And if we don't embrace the journey, we're going to miss some of the things that we need to pick up along the way. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Paul said, I count not myself to have arrived. But this one thing I do, I press in to take hold of all that God has for me. We're on the way. We're along the way. And just like the Israelites had a word from God for their journey, we too have a word from God for our journey. And that's what I said, and my message is going to be from Exodus 23, verse 20. So this is all my introduction, guys. We're going into Exodus 23 right now. This is where the message goes quick now. You with me? Sure. It's a process. God's working in our hearts. We're becoming like him. There is a journey. And that in a journey, anything can happen. And that's why the word that was given to Israel in the midst of their journey is a word for us today. And from that Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, I want us to look at some of the statements that God made to the Israelites, because those same statements that were made to Israel, I think are statements for our journey today as becoming more like Jesus and becoming transformed and conformed into his image. Those are words that can stand for us today, because anything can happen on a journey. He says, see, I am sending you an angel. The first thing we need to know from God today is that on this journey, you are not alone. God said, I am sending an angel. You are not alone. You have been given a helper. And just like Israel was sent an angel, we too have been sent an angel, the angel of angels. That Holy Spirit, Jesus said, go into all the earth, and I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. We've got the Holy Spirit. We are not alone in this journey. And he is right there with us. He's called the Paraclete, the one alongside. See, I'm sending you an angel. You're not alone. You see, one of the things that the enemy tries to put on people, is new believers, is they're embarking on this journey of becoming like him. The enemy will try to capture them and get them isolated and tell them, you're all alone and nobody's here for you and you're a victim and you're all on your own and you can't make it. But God's word to you today is you are not alone. I am with you. And yes, anything can happen on a journey, but you're not facing it on your own. God is saying, I'm right there with you. You know, in Niger right now, things are uncertain. Things are uncertain in Niger right now. In fact, I was just talking with somebody. Last month, they cut ties with America. Niger told the military they're not allowed to be in Niger. 2 days ago, they told them they have to get out, and America has agreed. So all American troops are leaving Niger. It's an uncertain time. A few months ago, they kicked the French out and all French left. I don't want to leave Niger. Niger's where God called me to be. It's an uncertain time. I'm on a journey that God called me to. And part of that journey was to bring the gospel to Niger, to plant churches. We have 70 churches now. And I'm reaching that next generation right now as I'm raising up the children of our pastors, that they're going to be the leaders of the nation. I don't want to leave this. Terrorism all around, but I am not alone. And I'm not afraid of the terrorists. I'm not afraid of the government. I'm just afraid that they won't let me in when I want to get in. But I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. His Holy Spirit is with me. No matter what you're facing today in your journey, I'm just sharing a little bit about our journey. But each of us have a journey of what God has called us to do, an assignment. And in that journey, I want you to know today you're not alone. The second thing it says is, I am sending you an angel ahead of you. Sometimes we don't see Jesus right there with us. Why? Because he's gone ahead of us. You may feel like you're alone. You may not see the angel right there with you. You may not feel the help and feel you have somebody there with you. But he's gone ahead of you. God is saying to us today, I have gone ahead of you. I remember when we went to to India for the first time. And this would have been probably 10 years or more, no, 12 years ago, or I can't remember when it was. It was our first trip to India. And when we got to India, we were going to be part of it. And we'd been serving in Niger for a number of years. And now we're starting to do pastors' conferences and starting to travel. And it was my first time to India to come and speak at a pastors' conference. I was with several other pastors from America that we were going to teach in this pastor's conference. And I was a little nervous my first time to India. Not nervous, but, you know, uncertain and not sure. And I've never ministered with within the Indian culture, what have you. And I remember as we walked into the conference center of where the meeting was going to be, as we walked in with all the pastors, all these pastors that had come for the conference started looking at me. And like, they started coming up, oh, it's such an honor to have you. I'm like, all these other pastors are here too, but they kept looking at me. They were just surrounding me saying, oh, it's so great to have you. Then they said, we saw you on TV last night, powerful meetings, powerful. I'm like, oh, I think you got the wrong guy, you know. I don't have a TV ministry. He said, no. You're a missionary in Niger, right? We saw your ministry on the television. It was powerful. I'm like, I don't think so, but I am in Niger. I know that much. Come to find out, 2 years before, we had hosted an evangelist that had come to Niger. And he came with his team, and we did this ministry in Maradi. And actually, I write about it in the book. Get the book. I write about this ministry in the book. And powerful meetings, some of the most powerful we'd ever done in Maradi. And in the midst of those meetings, we got stoned. So they stoned, even the interpreter took a stone between the eyes, fell down. But we kept preaching, and through it all, people got saved and healed. It was powerful. It was amazing. And this was all on his program. See, when we invited him, he told me, well, I'm going to be bringing some television equipment. We've gotten on TBN, and we're starting to put our program out there, and you're going to be one of our first programs. I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And they did all the filming, and even at one point, they interviewed us. This was 2 years ago, and I never saw the program. I just, whatever, people come over, they do what they want to do. I didn't think anything about it. I mean, I just knew that we had some powerful meetings, and it was awesome. God showed up. Well, it just so happened that that program they filmed ended up airing the very night before I preached at the pastor's conference on God TV in India. And so I come in, and they'd all just seen everything from those meetings with me. God had gone ahead of me. God himself introduced me to India. Hallelujah. God wants to introduce you into the promises he has for your life. And when you're on this journey, it may not make sense, but God can go ahead of you. Look at the Israelites. They were getting ready to go, and they were on this journey heading to the promised land. And the last thing they needed to do to get into the promised land was to cross the Jordan River. And in Joshua chapter 3, we read what God says to them. In Joshua chapter 3, it's getting ready for them to go. And in verse 11, Joshua 3:11, it says, see, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the ark of the covenant, the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So the people broke camp and crossed the Jordan. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. You know, sometimes on this journey that God's called us into, he doesn't make sense. God, we've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now you want us to cross the Jordan at its worst time. It's flooded. If you've ever tried to cross a river, we have a river that cuts through Niamey, and certain parts of the year it floods. It even goes over the banks. It's deep. But at other times in the year, it's down and it's like below your knees. Hey, God, let's cross the Jordan in about 3 months when that river's low. You know, sometimes on this journey, God doesn't make sense. How many of you have been doing something that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt the Holy Spirit was the one telling you to do this? And you were doing it, and it didn't make any sense. God, this doesn't make sense. But when God's leading you, don't resist. Sometimes when God asks you to do something, it doesn't make sense in the natural. But most of the time, that's when God's getting ready to do something. He's wanting to show himself strong on your behalf. And if you're willing to take that step into the water, take that step in your journey that doesn't make sense, God can show up. Because God has gone ahead of you. And right when the Ark of the Covenant and the priest carrying, as soon as they stepped into that water, it says the stream stopped and it was heaped up and it continued on down and it became dry and they crossed through on dry land. If we continue reading, it tells us how it heaped up. It says in Joshua chapter 3, picking up in verse 16, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, and all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. It was a miracle. In the midst of flood season, when the river Jordan was at its highest, God said, "Go, now is the time. I'm leading you." And as they stepped in, it became dry. What had happened? They were crossing over opposite of Jericho. We read that. But it heaped up a great distance away at a city called Adam. You can go and look on the map. It was 20 miles away. God had stopped that. He had gone ahead of them, because imagine the timing of this. 20 miles away, he stopped the water flowing. And it just happened to have been done enough in advance that at the very moment the priest stepped in, it became dry. Man, God has gone ahead of us. Our journey may not seem to make sense, but God is working. He said, "I am with you." And even if it doesn't feel like it, don't give up. Sometimes you may feel like you're alone, but he's working things out. He has gone ahead. You just have to be ready to step into the water. You need to be ready to take that step in the journey that may not be the most comfortable journey of your life. His trip to Niger at first was probably a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The day he was preaching, he had to leave three times to go sit on the toilet where there were rats running around outside. Oh, and to vomit. Sorry, I stand corrected. Not only to use the toilet, but to vomit. Coming out both ends, probably. And can we say that in church? Missionaries get away with it all. Color and description of all of it. Yeah. God is going ahead of you. Don't resist when God is leading you down the journey. So the first thing, you are not alone. I'm sending an angel. Secondly, I've gone ahead of you to guard you along the way. You have a protector. God has promised his protection. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. I've got my bodyguard. You have a protection. The Bible says, fear not. If God be for you, who can be against you? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We have protection. God has given us a promise of protection. When he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he says, you'll drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm you. You'll step on scorpions and it will not hurt you. We have protection promised to us. Great, you know, we talk about having health insurance. Well, Great Commission offers great assurance. I have the great assurance. We all have that. As we're following Jesus and becoming a disciple of him every day of our life, making decisions to follow him step by step, taking up our cross, denying ourselves, being conformed to the image, and doing the things that God called us to do. You know, if we're so caught up in the destination, we're not going to do the things that he told us we need to do now. And you can't be so caught up in getting to heaven that we forget there's a job to do right now. There's some people we got to reach right now. That should get an amen. Come on. Everybody say amen. 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 We have protection. We have bodyguards. You are not alone. I'm sending an angel. He has gone ahead of you. God has gone ahead. He will guard you. He will protect you. He is your guard. He is your protection. And he says, along the way, and will bring you to the place. God is bringing you somewhere. Where you started on this journey is not how you end up. There is a process of transformation taking place. He is taking you somewhere. He is bringing you to a place. When you're in the process with the Lord, there is positioning and placement taking place that is so necessary if you're going to effectively possess all the promises of God. Man, that's a lot of P's. P315. That's my license plate we were talking about last night. My mind goes crazy when I'm speaking. We have to participate in the process. If we're going to take hold of all that God has for us, He is bringing us to a place. Don't think that this journey you're on has no direction. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense with the timing of what God's telling you to do. Sometimes where He's leading you doesn't make sense at the moment. But you can rest assured you have a promise. He's bringing you to the place. There is a place. There is some direction that He has for you, whether you see it or not. There's a placement and a positioning taking place in the process, whether you see it or not. Sometimes I don't know why God would send me to Niger that nobody had heard of when we went there. Everybody's heard of Nigeria, but Niger? Now it's become like big time news because of our uranium and because of our positioning for the American drone base and all these different things. People know about Niger now. But at the time, I'm like, God, why are you sending us to Niger? Now I'm seeing it's such a crucial piece of the puzzle. It's the gateway into Muslim Africa. If we reach Niger and we get a strong church raised up in Niger, we can go into Algeria and Mauritania and Libya and all these other parts of Africa that we're not even allowed to go in at this point. But Niger has been an open door. We've got to take that step. He's bringing us to a place. There's transformation. And we beheld His glory. We are being transformed into His image from glory to glory. We're on process. He says, I'm bringing you to a place, the fifth promise in this statement in Exodus 23:20, that I have prepared for you. We can rest assured that God has a plan for our life. He has prepared some things. The Bible says that before He saved us, He called us with a holy calling, not according to anything that we've done, but according to His own grace and purpose given to us before the beginning of time. God has a plan for us. Before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, and I know we know this and we hear it time and again, there is a plan and there is a purpose for our life. But we've got to embrace that purpose every day. We've got to embrace the plan of God for our life. And it may not always make sense, but there is a plan. And there is a place, and there is something taking place. And each step that you're following Jesus, there's transformation taking place. He's leading you closer because there are things that you've got to pick up along the way if you're going to do all that God has called you to do. If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They didn't even know they were in bondage. And even though there was obvious from Egypt to Persia to Assyria to Babylon to the Roman at the time, Jesus even brought another one that they were completely ignorant of. He says, anyone who sins is a slave. You know, we're living at a time when people don't even know the bondage they're in. And sometimes it's even the believers. Even the believers don't even recognize the situation that they're in. Anyone who is bound in sin is a slave. But I'm telling you, if you continue in the word, as you continue in the word, then you're His disciples. There's something taking place in the process. Thank God for those immediate breakthroughs, the setting free over the power of sin in your life. That takes place immediately, but there's also the working it out. Our minds being renewed we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's things taking place that we walk into that freedom. We shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Are we there yet? Not yet. But we're on the way, and as we're going on the way, we're taking hold of some things that we need. He has a plan for us. And as we step back after that verse, it says, we can look at that, and He says, God promised to protect them. He promised to prepare them. He promised to to protect, to prepare, to position them, to place them, to bring them to the place. He did all the P's, place, promise, protection, but prepare. But the one thing that God did not tell them he would do is to possess the land. They had to possess the land. They had to possess the land. As God leads you, he will protect you, he will prepare you, he will place you in a position you. But all of that is so that you can take in you yourself. By the powering of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit and by faith, you can possess all that God has for you. But if we stop short and we get so caught up in the confusion of our journey, we forget really what God is leading us to do. We will miss out on so much that God has for us. Who wants to just slip into heaven by the skin of our teeth? And there's no assurance in that. I mean, there's assurance in Jesus. And you believe on Jesus. But I'm telling you, every day make your decision to follow him. That we will possess the promises of God. It's not always immediate. There's one last verse that just came to my mind and I want to share with you. Deuteronomy. We always want it to be immediate and we're always about taking hold of it immediately. There's one last verse that when I read it, it just sort of jumped out at me. As the Israelites were getting in to possess their promised land and God was giving them the word, he says, now is the time. I think at this point they may have already crossed the Jordan. And God said, okay, I want you to go in and possess the land and I'm going to drive out the enemies. And he's giving them this word in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And picking up in verse 21, it says, God is encouraging them. It says, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified by them that are inhabitants of the land. For the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. Whew, God has given them a pep talk. Our God is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. What? The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Little by little, I was expecting at once, they're gone. And you just take it. No, he's going to drive them out little by little. Man, sometimes we don't like the process. Sometimes we don't want the journey. This morning, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Participate in the process. We are on a journey and God has promised us victory. There is an assurance of victory. And he gave us the promise that he will always be there with us. He has gone ahead of us. He is bringing us to a place. Amen. But we've got to hang on to this. I want to close with a song that we're going to sing this morning. A song, it's in English, but it's from Africa. And I want you to stand up and sing it with me. And then Pastor will come and figure out how to close this message out. This song says, you are Yahweh. God has promised us to go before us. He is our Yahweh. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You are Yahweh.
You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Alpha. Omega, you are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega.
You are Yahweh,
you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh, you are Yahweh.
Wow. Be seated for a second. I'm going to preach now, and then we'll... You know what I was thinking of when you were singing, I'm the Alpha and the Omega? Your sermon was about the fact that he's everything in between. You know, the beginning of our journey is when we are born again. our ultimate destination is heaven. What we heard today is about the rest of the alphabet, right? When we're getting from our alpha to our omega, he is all of that. Praise God. What a word. And let me say this. I probably should have had you remain standing, but you can remain seated for a minute. This joy in the journey, the growing through the journey, all of that stuff, I mean, I could not agree with it more. And I know everybody gets that a little bit. And I remember somebody many years ago, and this was on social media, he said, you know, he started off kind of in the right track. Everybody talks about going to heaven. Everybody talks about being with Jesus. But I've found out that the whole Christian experience is just about the journey. I'm like, well, and I argued back. I said, you know, I can remember you talk about the trips, the long trips. We used to go up to northern Wisconsin every summer. Our family did when we were kids. You know, six of us crammed into a sedan, all right? And mom would create these little bundles of activities for us to do on the way so that the journey was enjoyable. You know, there'd be things to read, puzzles. We'd play the alphabet game and things like that so that we could enjoy the journey. There were things that we looked forward to on the trip because that was like a 12-hour drive back in the day. No interstates. You know, when I was a kid 15 years ago or so. And but what made that journey ultimately so enjoyable is because we knew where we were going. I know what we'll do for vacation. We'll just go take a 12-hour drive, and then we'll take another 12-hour drive back. No, what was exciting was while we were having this fun and enjoying the journey and seeing the sights, we were heading somewhere. So we keep the destination in mind, right? Isn't that exciting? Oh, man, I'm excited. But as Neil alluded to, he didn't allude to it. He said it straightforwardly at least twice. That journey starts with your decision to surrender to Jesus Christ. You can't decide, well, I guess I'm on the journey. You've got to start that journey, and that journey starts in a moment with your decision to receive his gift of salvation. So stand up with me very quickly once again. I'm just going to give you a quick invitation. If you have not made that decision, I don't know how you could hear that message and not be fired up, motivated, excited. Even if you're a little bit scared, feel a little bit challenged, I want to be on that journey. I want to embrace where I'm at right now, and I want to involve God in where I'm at right now. You have to start by surrendering to him. God doesn't say, I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to examine your goals, and give you the thumbs up, and I'll just come alongside and do whatever you want. No, it's his plan. He was leading them to a land that he had chosen for them. God has a plan for your life. And so this whole discipleship, this whole growing and changing and enjoying the journey and developing in the journey has to be on a journey to where God himself is leading you. And that starts with saying, I will. I'll receive that. And you're receiving a free gift of eternal life, and you are born again at that moment. When Paul said, I don't count myself as having apprehended it yet, he wasn't talking about, I don't know if I'm saved yet. He's saying, I haven't completed my course. You can have the assurance of salvation right now. Being a Christian isn't just about believing the right things. It's about making that decision to follow him, recognizing that everything necessary for you to be in God's will was accomplished at the cross. It's impossible to achieve outside of the blood of Jesus. But if you will look at Jesus and say what he went through, what he endured that for me so that I could be born again, so that I could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be empowered and know him and follow him. And ultimately arrive at my destination with him in eternity. So, I'm not going to do the every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you want to make that decision, let me put it this way. If you have not made that decision, you need to make that decision. And it's my prayer that you will want to make that decision. I'm going to pray a prayer, a quick prayer, and we're going to sing a song, a short song. We're not going to draw this out because this is life and death. This is heaven and hell we're talking. That's an easy choice. You shouldn't have to think about it very long. When I'm done praying, if you want to make that decision, please just make your way up here and let me pray with you. Okay? Don't be afraid of that. Most of us in here have done that at one time or another. Possibly everybody in here has done that. But if you haven't, let today be your day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for the assurance that you have gone before us, that you have made a way for us. And it's my prayer now that if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that has not made that decision, has not surrendered their life to you, and started this wonderful journey along the life that you have planned for them, that you would convict them, Holy Spirit, as only you can, cause them to know their need, and grant them the humility, the boldness, and the wisdom to make that decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you enjoyed today's message, consider sharing it with a friend. For more content and information about Living Word, check out our website at livingwordfamily.org. And remember to live the gospel and preach the gospel.